And welcome back to Dad's on the Air, coming to you around Australia on the Community Radio Network. In this program, we bring you informing and entertaining conversations with a wide range of interesting people on topics of fatherhood, family and parenting, men's and boys' issues. Hi, I'm Bill Cable, and we are crossing today to Portland, Oregon in the United States, where we're speaking with Janet Allison. And Janet is an author, an educator, and a family coach. She is the founder of Boys Alive, which helps parents and teachers understand how boys learn, relate, play, and communicate in a way that's very different from girls. And Janet is also a mother of two girls. Janet, welcome to the program.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
So, Janet, on this topic of boys and school, as a teacher, have you seen a difference in boys' education from your own immediate experience?
I was a teacher in the mid-90s, and this is why I do what I do today, because I had a class of 10 boys and 2 girls, and those 10 boys were so challenging. Nothing in any of my education and my preparation for teaching prepared me for how differently boys would behave, communicate, and learn in the classroom. It was completely surprising to me.
And what were those differences that you noticed so much?
The biggest difference was boys needed to touch everything. They needed to move their bodies. They were not happy sitting at a desk. We needed to be outside a lot of the time, and I found through trial and error that if we could be outside in the morning doing some running and maybe some balancing kind of activities, that it actually helped them be able to come into the classroom and be ready for learning.
And this difference, is this reflected in the results, and is it shown up, say, in official figures?
Well, you know, if you ask a boy what his favorite subject is, he will often, most likely, say recess. If you ask the headmaster or the principal who are the children that are being sent to the office for behavior, disciplinary issues, it is, in America, it's about 95% boys, and often we have female teachers who don't really understand boys. So they want them to come in and sit still and be quiet, and when they're not, then they are in trouble, or they are, you know, we need to have him tested for ADHD because he can't sit still. So we really need to understand the differences that boys bring into the classroom.
And would you describe it as a crisis, the current level of education for young boys?
It is absolutely a crisis. We have boys being expelled from preschool. We have boys that are being asked to do academic work before they're developmentally ready. And boys typically are about a year to a year and a half behind where girls are in their development, in their fine motor skills, in their language skills. And so as academics get pushed down into younger and younger grades, these young boys are being asked to do things that they're not ready to do yet. You know, boys will come to reading, but they often come to it later than girls. So they're being measured maybe in first grade for on reading and language acquisition when they will catch up by third, but in first they're behind. And so we see a large gender gap in academics, with girls pushing ahead in reading and writing and boys falling behind.
Now, Janet, you are a mother of two girls. Something that's often said when this topic is raised is, oh, that's good, because that means girls are doing better. How would you respond to that sort of comment?
Oh, my gosh. I think that, you know, when our boys and our girls are doing equally as well, when we can really acknowledge and know how girls learn and communicate and how boys learn and communicate, and we make both of those ways right, when often the way boys communicate, the way men communicate is seen as wrong, When we can make both of those styles understood and right, then we're making great progress.
So you don't see this as being in any way in conflict with your natural desire for your own girls to succeed?
Absolutely not. You know, when all boats rise with the tide, we want boys and girls to succeed. I want successful males as role models and as future husbands for my daughters. So we have to recognize this crisis for what it is and begin to advocate and make the changes in school and in our parenting that will make boys not so wrong as they have been perceived to be.
Perhaps we need to get the message out to mothers that we're talking about their children, their boys, and get them fired up that there is something going on here that we need to address and get the mothers on side.
Absolutely. And, you know, I do family coaching and I do a lot of parent talks for parents, and often the mothers will say, I don't know the first thing about raising a boy. I was raised with sisters. I had a single mom. And so we're educating women about boys and men, but we're also educating men about themselves. I've had a lot of dads come to me after hearing me talk and say that they understand themselves better. They're the way they prefer to communicate and relate. And it's as if they're being finally acknowledged for the way they approach life is okay too.
You touched on the differences between parents, and I guess this often comes up in the family law situation, that there are different parenting styles, aren't there? And a mother, in the way she educates her children, might be different and complementary perhaps to the way a man does, but you need both styles.
Absolutely, you need both styles, and moms need to understand that dads will parent differently. And it won't look like how, you know, they're nurturing and protective and dad's out there letting them climb trees and do things like that. And children, both boys and girls, absolutely need that male and female presence in their life. And recognizing that dads will bond and relate with their sons differently, and that boys, from the time they are born, their primary question is, what is it to be a man? And so boys are always watching. Even if a single mom is raising a boy, he's still always watching the men that come into school, that are in the store, that are at the park. He's watching to see, oh, is this what a man does? Is this what a man says? And so it's also for our men to really step up and be that role model for not only their own children, but for all the children who cross their path. I often tell dads, you know, when you walk into school to bring your child into kindergarten, you recognize that all of the other boys in that classroom are looking at you and asking themselves, is this what it is to be a man? And so we have to hold that question as primary, especially for our boys and especially in relationship with their fathers, uncles and grandfathers.
And I guess that raises a problem that these days there are a lot of single parent families and it's usually the mother, and yet when they come to school to perhaps get this other influence, in Australia, I'm sure it's the same in America, the majority of teachers of young children are going to be women again, aren't they? So it's difficult to get that male influence at times.
Absolutely. It absolutely is. And part of that is helping the female teachers understand what boys need and understanding that they do need this male presence and looking for all of the different ways that males can be brought in from the community to be active in the school community also. And then also helping single moms connect with males in the community so that there can be healthy connections. Often that's through sport, but there can be other mentoring situations that can be set up. For instance, a neighbor likes to fish. The mom can ask the neighbor, can you take my boy fishing with you? And often it's fathers of friends, so of your son's friends, reach out to them. They may not offer, but if a mom were to ask another child's dad, hey, could you include my son? I think that they would be honored to do that.
And we're speaking today with Janet Allison, who is an author, an educator, a family coach, and the founder of the organisation Boys Alive. And we've just been hearing about some of the problems for boys. This is the other side, and we're going to listen to a song by Nat King Cole called Nature Boy.
Very strange, enchanted boy. They say he wandered very far, very far, over land and sea. A little shy and sad of eye, but very wise was he. And then one day, a magic day, he passed my way. And while we spoke of many things, fools and kings, this he said to me: the greatest thing you'll ever learn is just to love and be loved in return.
That was Nature Boy by Nat King Cole, with a very important lesson for all of us there, that of all the things you learn, the greatest thing is to love and be loved in return. Janet Allison, we were just talking about the lack of male figures in boys growing up and what the parents can do and what the schools can do. One of the things that you often hear from boys is, I hate school. And why do you think that is that? Why do they have that strong feeling about school?
Well, there's so many reasons why they hate school, and we really need to look at three key areas. Really listen, kind of what is underneath, what's underlying that statement of I hate school, or I don't like the teacher, or they don't want to get out of bed in the morning and you're dragging them to school every day. So it's important to kind of look underneath those things. Three key areas to consider are the social aspect of school, academics, and also the school environment. So socially, it's important to understand what the relationships are that are happening with not only his friends, but also with the teacher. A boy will do anything for a teacher who he feels like really sees him. So if a teacher can connect with their all of their students, but their boys especially, on a really personal level of knowing what their sport team did over the weekend or what his special hobbies are, and then there can be a connection there. That really makes a boy feel seen and heard at school in that social arena. Making sure that there are healthy social relationships. You know, we're always worried about bullying, being a bully or being bullied. So that's important to look into and make sure that things are going okay in that area. Academics can get a little trickier, but it's important to look at, you know, if a boy says he's bored or if he says he doesn't like something or doesn't want to do it, it may be because he simply doesn't understand it. He won't often say, boys are less likely to say that they don't know something. They don't want to be put in that vulnerable position. So they'll find all sorts of other ways to get around that subject. So really listening to that. Also understanding, again, as we said in the first part of the show, that boys come to academics later in their fine motor skills, in their language acquisition. So some boys may not read until they're 10 or 11. In America, that's in third grade. And we're worried by then in our schools because often we expect kindergarten and first graders to be reading. So it's really beneficial to a boy if he can be at the older side of the class. So I often encourage parents to make a gap year, have an extra year of kindergarten, let them go to school at the older end of the age for the class. Well, and the other aspect of the academics is homework. And I'm not sure how it is in Australia, but in America, homework is very important, and it's, you know, even kindergartners are coming home with homework. But we have a growing trend of not having homework in the early years because it hasn't been shown to be academically beneficial, that it's more important for children to be playing outside, to be interacting with their family, making dinner together, playing board games, things like that. So really looking at the homework aspect. Many boys will just tell you that homework is useless. So if he feels that way, it's going to be really hard to get him on board with that. The third key that I really encourage parents to look at is the environment of school. Is there enough activity? Are there enough recess periods? Can he be physical? Can he ride his bike? Can he do something outside and active before school begins so that his body is ready to be able to sit in the classroom? And again, it's that having to sit at a desk can just be torturous for a boy and his active body. So is there the ability to stand and do his lessons? We often have stand-up desks that boys really enjoy, and that can be as simple as putting a box on top of a tabletop so that it raises the surface and he can stand and work that way. And also in school for boys, much of the learning is auditory, so having to sit and listen without having anything to do with their hands can also be really difficult. So they find something to do with their hands, which often is maybe not what the teacher wants them to do. So letting them have a squeeze ball or being able to play with some silly putty or something will actually help him be able to listen better if he has that activity with his hands.
I think you describe it as busy bodies rather than just sitting passively and having information being fed into them. The boys are better to be, you know, getting up and getting things and moving around and perhaps being in the open air, and all these things should be explored if boys are going to learn better and quicker.
Well, and when we really look back at the history of human development, we learned by doing things. We learned by taking care of the crops and the animals and hunting, and all of those things were how especially hunters, especially males, learned so that, and that's still in them today. They are less able to sit and just listen and digest information that is spoken to them. They want to be interactive and touch everything and move their bodies.
I'm just thinking back to my own education, and things like fidgeting and doodling were definitely out. If the teacher saw you fidgeting, you were brought to account very quickly. And yet, I think you're saying that that would be beneficial for the young boys if they're allowed to fidget, if they're allowed to doodle, if they're allowed to get out of their seats, all those things that have been traditionally prohibited in schools for young children.
Absolutely. And so when we can understand that boys actually will learn better by being able to do these things, we're helping everyone thrive. I had a principal that in a school that I worked with, and the boys, of course, would get sent there, and the principal would have them sit and write about what they had done wrong, which is counterproductive because he isn't going to be able to do that. When I encouraged her to bring some movement into that time, she brought an exercise bike into her office. And so now the boys come in and they can ride on the exercise bike for a while. And then they're actually ready to find their words and be able to talk about what happened. Boys need to move to find their words and process. Processing happens while they're moving, not while they're sitting still.
Well, it's an exciting new approach, and it's definitely necessary. I wanted to ask you, too, just about the great popularity of video games for young boys. How do you see this? Is this an area that perhaps might be harnessed to help boys learn better?
Oh, video games, that's such a big topic. I believe that video games are a treat and should be used played after everything else. Homework, playing outside, interacting with your family, all of those things. And then there's a little bit of time for video games. Video games can be very addictive for boys especially. And that's because they have all the essential ingredients that boys like. There's action and there's, you know, challenge, they have to get to the next level, and competition, all of those things that boys appeal, especially to boys. And so we have to be really, really mindful of how much video screen time we are allowing for our boys, because it is an addiction.
Yes, I've noticed. Now, Janet Allison, if people want to find more about all this exciting education development, is there a website or something where they can go to find out some more?
Boysalive.com is my website. That's BOYSALIVE.com. And we have a group on Facebook. We'd love to have new members there. We're always talking and helping each other with questions about our boys. And I'm teaming with another boy advocate, Jennifer Fink of buildingboys.net. We are doing some events together. We're really excited about. We want to help parents and teachers advocate for boys and know what to do when their son says, "Help, I hate school."
It's such a wonderful initiative. And we've reached a stage of the program where we ask our guests if they'd like to pick a song for us and tell us why they picked the song. Janet, I think you got a bit of help on that one as well.
I did. I reached out to my Facebook group of parents and asked them, what is a meaningful song about your boys, and I had men, moms and dads respond about songs that were meaningful to them.
And the one they came up with was Real Men by Joe Jackson.
Time when it always seemed to be just us and them, girls that walk. a better man than me and you. What's a man now? What's a man mean? Is he rough or is he rugged? Is he cultural and clean? Now it's all changed. It's got to change more, 'cause we think it's getting better, but nobody's really sure. And so it goes.
That was Real Men by Joe Jackson, which again has a lot of important messages for us. It just remains for me now to thank our special guest, Janet Allison from Boys Alive. Janet, thank you very much for being on the program.
Thank you. My pleasure. Happy to be with you.
And don't forget, we'd love to hear from any of our listeners. You can go to our website, dadsontheair.com.au, and send us an email and we'll be in touch. If you'd like to listen to this show again or any of our shows, go to our website, dadsontheair.com.au, or follow us on Facebook or Twitter. And that's it for this week. We'll be back next week with another show, but for now, it's goodbye from Dads on the Air.